Good morning, everyone. I will call to order the August 22nd, 2018 variance hearing. My name is Corey Teague. I'm the acting zoning administrator for today's hearing. I'm joined by our recording secretary, Gino Salcedo. I'm just going to provide some general information about the hearing procedures today and justifying variances, and before we move on to the calendar. So regarding the order of presentation, project sponsors and or property owners shall be allowed 5 minutes to present oral arguments on how the five findings are met to justify a variance. The applicant should also submit the declaration of posting when they approach to present their case. Any members of the public, both supporters and opponents of the proposed variance, shall be allowed 3 minutes each to speak. If there is any public testimony in opposition to a proposed variance, the applicant is allowed 3 minutes for rebuttal. I may ask questions of the applicant and or members of the public. At the end of the item, I may close the public hearing and take the matter under advisement. I may continue the item to a future date, or I may indicate my action on the item today. Items listed on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator, and if anyone would like to speak on one of those items, please step up when the item is called, otherwise it will be granted. Public comment at the end of the hearing shall be allowed for items not on the agenda. Members of the public are allowed 3 minutes each to speak at that time if they wish. Regarding the criteria for justifying a variance, Section 305C of the Planning Code states that in order to grant a variance, the zoning administrator must determine that the facts of the case are sufficient to establish the following five findings. Finding one, that there are exceptional and extraordinary circumstances applying to the property involved or to the intended use of the property that do not apply generally to other property or uses in the same class of district. That owing to such exceptional and extraordinary circumstances, the literal enforcement of specified provisions of the Planning Code would result in a practical difficulty or unnecessary hardship not created by or attributable to the applicant or the owner of the property. Finding three, that such variance is necessary for the preservation and enjoyment of a substantial property right of the subject property possessed by a property in the same class of district. Finding four, that the granting of such variance would not be materially detrimental to the public welfare or materially injurious to the property or improvements in the vicinity. And finding five, that the granting of such variance would be in harmony with the general purpose and intent of the Planning Code and would not adversely affect the general plan. Please be aware that no decision is actually final until a decision letter is issued, and due to current backlogs, decision letters may take up to 2 months or slightly longer to complete from the date of this hearing. If anyone would like to receive a copy of a decision letter, please complete the sign-up sheet located at the far wall and provide your contact and mailing information. Again, that's just on that far wall over there. Regarding appeal, the zoning administrator's action to grant or deny a variance application may be appealed to the Board of Appeals within 10 days of the date of the decision letter. And again, no decision is final until that decision letter is issued. Private conversations can be very disruptive to the hearing, so please conduct all such conversations outside the hearing room. The next variance hearing is currently scheduled for September 26th, next month. And audio recordings of variance hearings are available on the Planning Department's website as a link on the hearing agenda for hearings on or after January 1st, 2011. So, moving on to today's calendar, starting with items that are proposed for continuance. Item number one for 2285 Broadway is proposed to be continued to next month's variance hearing on September 26th. Additionally, due to incomplete public notice, for this hearing, item number 10 for 39 Diamond Street will also be continued to September 26th. Is there any public comment on these two proposed continuances for 2285 Broadway and 39 Diamond Street? Okay. Seeing none, items number 1 and number 10 for 2285 Broadway and 39 Diamond Street are continued to the September 26th hearing. And we'll move on to the consent calendar, where there are two cases proposed. These include item number 2 for 507 Pennsylvania Street and item number 3 for 3300 Mission Street. Items on the consent calendar are matters considered routine by the zoning administrator. And if anyone would like to speak to these items, please step forward now. Again, this is item number 2 for 507 Pennsylvania Street and item number 3 for 3300 Mission Street. These are on the consent calendar, and they will be approved if there are no public comment. Okay. Well, seeing no public comment, we will conclude the consent calendar, and those items will be granted. And we will begin with the regular calendar, starting with item number 4 for 1282 35th Avenue.
Yes.
All right, so for item number 4, case number 2018-001437 VAR at 1282 35th Avenue with rear yard and exposure variances sought. And the project sponsor has 5 minutes whenever you're ready.
Yes, thank you. Good morning. I am the property owner. I am here in place of the architect that I'm working with. She couldn't make it this morning, so I'm not exactly familiar with all your processes. We are attempting to build a small 35 square foot expansion into our yard and to enable a more livable two bedroom downstairs in-law unit. We have talked pretty extensively with our neighbors to the north. They are both architects as well, and they have said that they are looking to buy their home. They're renting now. The owners are elderly, and they would like to do a similar project to their house. Our neighbors to the south did a very similar project about 15 years ago, and he showed me his project and has been giving me ideas about what he did to make things go easier for him. And our neighbors across the street have been supportive as well. I have the declaration of posting. I'm unsure what dates to put on it. The architect that we're working with had some confusion, so we posted the orange poster. I can get that. We posted the orange poster first without the larger poster, and then we ended up posting the larger poster later. The orange poster has been posted since July 2nd. It's still up. The larger poster was posted on July 31st and is still up. Mm-hmm. So I'm not quite sure.
So that declaration of posting is specifically for this hearing?
Yes.
And so that's the larger poster?
The larger poster, yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's great. A separate, the orange poster is for the notice for the building permit that's associated with this hearing, but they are technically two separate items and two separate notices and postings. So for this hearing and this declaration of posting, you should use the dates that apply to the larger poster.
The larger poster. Okay, great. That's all I have to offer. I don't know if you need more from me or not. I'm happy to answer any questions you might have.
Sure. Thank you.
Sure.
That's fine for now. I'll see if there's anyone from the public who would like to speak to this item.
Great.
And I do not see any. So I will close the public hearing for that item. I went back and this item was heard last month.
Yes.
By Scott Sanchez, the zoning administrator, but I believe the poster was not posted for the last hearing, so it had to be continued to today. I have reviewed the case in full. I know Mr. Sanchez at that hearing stated that he was inclined to grant the variance for several reasons. Related to the fact that without the variance, having a second bedroom was much less feasible, and there was not the ability to add an ADU at that time, considering the lot depth in context with other surrounding lots, and advancing the ability to add a second unit in an RH2 district. And so, again, I've reviewed the project. We've not received any other additional public comment, and I would also be inclined to grant the variance. Okay. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
Moving on to the next item, we have case number 2017-016278 VAR. At 415 and 417 Tehama Street with exposure variance sought. Item number 5.
Good morning. My name is Lou Felthaus. I'm the architect for the project sponsor. I have here the declaration of posting with the photos. Uh, I don't know how to get this on the computer.
Well, I can go ahead and set that up for you.
The project's an older building. My client purchased it in 2016, knowing that there were four units on the ground floor of the building that were built without benefit of permit. He wanted to try to see if we could get those approved to legalize them and bring them up to city standards to provide legal housing at those four locations. We've had meetings with pre-application meetings with the fire department and building department and determined that one unit that's in the center of the east side where there's a side yard has no access to any open space that could give us the required by building code light and ventilation. So they've written in the pre-application meeting notes that it is technically infeasible to legalize that unit. Subsequent to that, we've requested an administrative dwelling unit merger to merge that unit with the rear unit. There's one unit that's in the rear corner of the building that we're going to use the legalization process to approve under a separate permit application. That leaves two of the remaining three units that we're attempting to get approval for ADUs. The unit located in the rear of the building adjacent to this side yard does not have the required exposure, the depth of the rear yard that was built or when the building was built, conforming with the codes at the time, does not meet the current requirement. The extraordinary circumstance is really that this is a corner unit on the building where one entire wall of the building faces the light well. The light well, although the building and fire department would not allow us to use the existing fenestration as required light and air windows, they are allowing us to replace those with fire-rated windows that are operable that will still provide additional light and ventilation to the unit. This is an overhead image with our unit located here. The east side has a side well.
You can take the microphone with you when you speak, if you don't mind.
Okay. Thank
you.
So the unit is along this location on the building adjacent to that side property line where that side yard occurs. This is an image that we took in January when the sun's lower on a cloudy day, and it still shows filtered light that reaches that lower unit. The door, the window, the door, and then there's a fourth window all face the light well and will get additional light and ventilation. The size of that light well is 3 foot, 3.5 inches wide for the full length of the building. This image is the existing fenestration along there. This goes to a common area laundry, and these other openings in that wall will be replaced with fire-rated operable windows that will provide additional light and ventilation to the proposed unit. This is the floor plan of the proposed unit. As you can see, the side yard gives a lot more opportunity for natural light, and we're meeting our required light and ventilation with the new fenestration at the rear wall for the building and fire department requirements. So even though this unit would not be provided with the exposure per the letter of the code, we believe that the additional light that comes from the side yard will be more than adequate to offset the lack of the 20 inches of rear yard that would be required by today's standards. Do you have any questions?
Not at the moment. Thank you. If you're done, I will see if there's anyone from the public who would like to speak on this item. Okay, seeing no one from the public, I will close public comment for this item. And I just want to clarify, I mean, I saw the plans that you added there that specifically is unit 417C, which is the northern unit, which fronts, again, this kind of side
It's actually the southeastern unit.
Okay. And it's front, the southeastern unit. I guess it depends on which way we're going here. But it is unit 417C that you are requesting the variance for, because in the calendar language it references 417D, which is adjacent. But I believe, from what you just stated, the 417D unit will be legalized under the legalization.
That is correct.
Okay.
And it's this unit. North is actually, True North is sort of on a bias.
Sure.
So that's why I'm saying the southeast unit.
Okay. All right. I don't have any questions. I do have some concerns with the unit. I mean, we did have new legislation passed that made the exposure requirements even more reduced, down to a fairly small minimum. I do understand your position that this has a little bit of frontage on the rear yard, but it also has multiple windows on this narrow side yard that may get a certain amount of light, and cumulatively that may be kind of a equivalency to what would otherwise be required. I still have some concerns with that. I would like to review that in a little more detail, and so I will take this one under advisement.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the next item, number 6, for case number 2018-001669VAR at 230 24th Avenue with a rear yard variance sought.
Hi, good morning. My name is Andy Rogers. I'm the architect for this project. It is a two-unit owner-occupied building, and it's unusual that we have a case where the clients don't need as much space as is in the existing building. So there's a proposed net overall reduction of the square footage. However, they would like to create some more space on the ground level, and they would also like to have a deck facing their rear yard and connecting with their rear yard at the second level, which they don't currently have. And because the existing building is a pre-existing non-conforming situation and that it extends into the required rear yard, to utilize the 12-foot extension from the existing rear wall of the building does require a variance. So this is a site plan of the existing structure, and the proposal is to remove that east wing of the building for the top three stories, and to expand the ground level, the first floor, a little bit. This not only benefits our clients, but also benefits the neighbor to the north who has a similar condition, because it allows a lot more south light into their east wing. So they're fully supportive of the project as well. So that's it. I can speak to more about that or answer questions as needed.
Sure. Let me check first and see if there's any member of the public who'd like to speak on this item. Okay, seeing none, I'll close public comment. Do you? I was going to ask, and I don't know if you have this figure calculated, but obviously there's a certain amount of square footage of the building that currently projects into the required rear yard, and there's going to be a net reduction in how much building area is going to be within the required rear yard. Do you know what that?
Yeah, we did that math. That was requested by.
Okay.
The
staff. Yeah, I think I asked for it yesterday. Just yesterday, I didn't know if that had been.
So the existing encroachment in total is 892 square feet on the four levels.
Okay.
We propose to reduce that to 579 square feet. So the net reduction is 313 square feet.
Okay.
But on the ground level, on the first floor, there is this an increase in the encroachment.
Correct. Right.
So.
Okay. Thank you. Well, I've reviewed this proposal in detail. You're correct. It is a little bit unusual in the sense that someone's asking for a reduction in space. in the rear as it is. I tend to agree that this is going to be, even though it increases the discrepancy with the required rear yard on the ground floor to some degree, overall it's a significant reduction in the non-conforming nature of the building at the rear that will, you know, benefit the building and the neighbors. So I'd be inclined to grant the variance.
Great. Thank you so much. Oh, and then the affidavit I don't have with me, but I can complete that now. Is that okay? And
The declaration of posting?
Yeah.
Yeah, so if you have it today, that's great. If not, you can make sure that that's provided to the planner.
Staff planner. Okay, yeah. I'll do that.
Thank you.
All right, moving on to the next item on the calendar, number 7 for case number 2017-015232 VAR at 142 Newman Street with the rear yard variance sought.
Hello. I'm actually the owner of the property, and my architect isn't here yet. He would make a better case than I would. Would it be okay if you did the other items on the calendar and then came back to me last?
Yeah, we can move this item to be heard last on the agenda.
Okay, thank you.
Sure.
So moving on to item number 8 for case number 2017-014134 VAR, located at 225 to 227 Hoffman Avenue with a rear yard variance sought.
Good morning, Henry Canillo. It's on the project sponsor for this project. Hey, Gina. So I was reading what the what's written on the request for the variance. It says a 21-foot high fire-rated wall. We submitted drawings showing that we're not going to be doing that. We are going to do a cantilevered fire-rated deck, so we wouldn't have to do the fire-rated wall. However, though, there will be the guardrail at the one end that will be 42 inches tall that will be rated to go along with the deck, so that's pretty well lit. The part about this whole thing is the backyard is fairly sort of small, so there's two units in this building, unlike the one adjacent to it. It's got a much larger deck, and it's only one family. So this, what this deck does, it gives the people upstairs a space to use for themselves, and then the folks downstairs to have a space for them to use for themselves also. And so that's basically what we're looking at for the variance in doing that.
Okay, thank you. Does anyone from the public like to speak on this item? Seeing none. Thanks for the clarification. I did see the updated plans that cantilevered the deck and removed the overall firewall, except for what's required at the deck level. I think the one of the outstanding concerns here was that our design review staff, as typical for a lot of proposals like this, had requested a setback off of the property line, off the northern property line of, I think, 3 feet. And can you address that to some degree? Because I know that.
Sure. Yeah, what it does, as again, going back to what the neighbors deck is, when you look at the size of that and the size of this deck as it is fairly small. It does go 8 feet, but actually the width-wise, it isn't that big. And if you try to use it to put furniture out, it's going to really limited. And even with the 3 foot, I believe, DBI, they may allow an open rail. Sometimes they will do that. Otherwise, they say, no, you've got to move it 5 feet. So it's not really going to help in that end of it, Corey. Again, when you look at the height of where this rail is, the next door neighbor's got a deck that's pretty well near the same height, and they don't have any sort of protection. So what we're doing is even creating somewhat of a protection by doing this firewall. I mean, this this fire-rated rail. So, you know, I feel that this is very reasonable in what we're asking for. I think it's not asking for a lot, but knocking off that 3 feet, really, it does take away quite a bit from if you want to put a couple of tables and chairs or whatever you want to put outside to sit down and enjoy the sun and so forth from the outside. It's going to make it difficult. And so that's why we feel this is reasonable in asking just for that.
I understand that position. I mean, it's still a good size. I mean, right now it's proposed at about 16 and a half feet wide in terms of the usable area, with 8 feet of depth. So we're looking at 13 and a half by eight, which is still fairly substantial size to be able to provide a little bit of furniture and make good use of it. You know, the minimum requirement for a deck to be qualified as usable open space in the code is just 6x6, which is obviously less usable and smaller. So I understand that. Again, I still have concerns about the lack of the setback, but I want to look into that a little bit further. Part of the issue is not only the firewall issue on the property line, but also just providing setback for privacy and noise, et cetera, on property lines with decks. So I'd like to look into that a little bit further, and so I will take this item under advisement.
Yeah, thank you. And again, when it comes to privacy and so forth, there's a large sort of like landscaping that's right on the fence there and all that. So I think what we have is really quite nice between the two neighbors. And the neighbors aren't against it either. They're for it. So we have no opposition to it. So I'd love it if you could approve it.
Okay. I'll take it under advisement.
Thank you, Corey. Mm-hmm. Thank you.
Moving on to item number 9 for case number 2017-002591VAR, located at 969 DeHaro Street, with the rear yard variance sought. And if the project sponsor is here, you have a 5-minute presentation.
No project sponsor here for 696 DeHaro. Okay. Then we will move on. Obviously, item number 10 for 39 Diamond Street was continued to next month. So we will revert back to. And so, okay. You know what we will do is I'm going to take a 5-minute recess, and we'll see if anybody can show up within the next 5 minutes, and hopefully they can, and we will go from there.
2385 Broadway Street.
That was continued to next month at the very beginning of the hearing. That was listed on the calendar as being proposed for continuance.
Do they have to post anything letting us know the new date?
I can chat with you here in just a second. So we're going to take a quick 5-minute recess. Okay, let's see. All right.
Okay, so if item number 7 for case number 2017-015232 VAR at 142 Newman Street. If this project sponsor is ready, you have a 5-minute presentation. And this is for a rear yard variance.
Excellent. Thank you very much. Good morning, Mr. Teague. I am really apologize for my late arrival. Okay. I've been to several of these before, and I've never seen one go quite so fast and expeditiously.
Well, actually, I told all the planners yesterday to contact their sponsors and tell them all to be here at 9:30 because I thought we were going to fly
okay.
today.
Okay. Yeah. Well, again, I do apologize.
Sure.
I'll be very quick. You know, as I'm sure you have, you know, reviewed the project materials and, you know, seen the variance that we're asking for. So you can see that, you know, the project involves adding a stair to the back of an existing two-unit building. Not an uncommon configuration. Many San Francisco buildings have such a stair at the rear. We had some additional constraints on this because it is in Bernal Heights. In other parts of San Francisco, Section 136 of the Planning Code would have allowed us to develop a certain extent beyond the 45% rear yard setback, but the Bernal Heights gave us some additional constraints. However, in you can see in the design that we have taken great, you know, we have taken measures to keep the stair centered on the property, maximum distance from the side property lines. And we've really limited the stair and the decks to no more than what is necessary for safe egress and code compliance on the stair runs, et cetera. The only two things that I would like to add to the materials that which you have not seen yet are letters of support from adjacent neighbors. We have two letters of support here. Can I hand these to you? So we have a letter of support from Beth Gorman, who lives at 136 Newman, the property immediately adjacent to the subject property. And I'll just read this very quickly. We submit this letter in support of the deck and stair addition support of the deck and stair addition project at 142 Newman Street. After reviewing the plans for the project proposed by our neighbor Billy Martin, we find that this design will only have a slight impact on our property. Billy and his architect took care in the design to ensure the effect on the neighboring properties would be minimal. The second letter submitted by Amy Cutler, who lives at 148 Newman, the property immediately adjacent to the subject property to the east, said, "I'm the neighboring homeowner and resident at 148 Newman Street, the property adjacent to the east of 142 Newman Street. I am submitting this letter in support of the new exterior stairwell and roof deck project at 142 Newman Street. I have reviewed the plans for the project proposed by Billy Martin and find that this design will have negligible impact on my property. I therefore recommend that this project be approved." And therefore, with these letters in support of the project and our efforts to keep a minimal and transparent profile on the stair that maximizes light and kind of minimizes the mass, we also ask that you can approve the project. And that'll be all. Thank you.
Sure. Thank you. I don't see any public here to speak to this item, but I'll still call for it if there's any public comment on this item. But seeing none, I will close the public comment. So I appreciate the comments. I appreciate the willingness to work with the neighbors to get their support. That is always important. I think as you're aware, there are concerns from a design perspective with the overall size and height of the stair structure and the I think the size and some setback issues related to the roof deck itself. I think the challenge here from a variance perspective is, you know, the first finding is there has to be an exceptional extraordinary circumstance. And in this situation, you know, we have Bernal Heights, which is fairly limiting and tends to have smaller lots with topography, and you actually have a pretty large lot with not a lot of topography, and you have a lot of, you have a really large rear yard for Bernal purposes, definitely big enough to meet all of the minimum, you know, well exceed the minimum requirements for usable open space in the code. So I can definitely understand the desire to have a roof deck. I love roof decks personally, but it's not required to meet any code provision. There's not, you know, really awful usable open space in the rear yard. So that makes the first finding challenging. I don't know if I know that there is a little bit of issue in terms of just access down to the rear yard. I mean, you kind of have, it seems like you have to go down into the garage and through the back and up the stairs to get to the rear yard. So I don't know if you guys considered anything like a spiral staircase that would allow access from the units directly to the rear yard to get better access to the rear yard, and or a spiral staircase to get to the roof deck. Did you guys consider that at all, and just have any discussions with the Department of Building Inspections about that option?
I do recall that we did look at a spiral staircase towards the beginning of the project. I believe that, okay, I would have to refresh my knowledge of the code, but I believe that spiral staircases are only allowed as a required means of egress when they serve an area of less than 250 square feet. Mm-hmm. Since this staircase is replacing a required stair that is currently inside the building, it therefore becomes a required second means of egress, and as such, the circular stair would not meet that requirement.
Right, because obviously this is combined with the adding, losing the stairway interior. I think there's bathrooms being added, if I'm correct, right?
That is correct, okay. Yes.
Okay, I would be curious to look further into this spiral staircase, or even, again, the potential for a smaller, if this was a proposal for a smaller stair structure, really just to provide access, better access to the rear yard, those are somewhat common because we want to provide good access to the usable open space in a minimal way. This is a pretty substantial stair structure that goes all the way to the roof, and a pretty substantial roof deck that's not, you know, providing open space that's required by code. It's not deficient, so there's still a big challenge there from a variance perspective. And on top of that, again, we have our the residential design advisory team in our department having some concerns with that, from a design perspective related to the residential design guidelines, which also makes it another challenge to grant the variance. So, I'm going to take this under advisement, and I would like to, you know, take the opportunity to explore some alternatives a little bit further. I think as it's currently proposed, it's definitely a challenge to grant the variance, but there could be alternatives that would be more feasible from a variance perspective. But you indicated you'd like to add
I just
more
have
to
a
that.
Just a confirmation question.
Sure.
If my understanding is correct, the variance is not required for the roof deck, but the variance is required for the projection into the rear yard. Is that correct?
Correct.
Okay. So to the extent that the roof deck is kind of in question here, it's because the stair goes all the way up to the roof deck.
Right. At the upper level, the stair exists for the purpose of accessing the roof deck. Correct.
Okay. I just wanted to clarify that.
Correct.
So if we did not need that stair to get up to the roof deck would not be an issue in itself.
It would not be an issue for the variance. There may be still design issues, right? They may still want it to be set off the sides a little bit for privacy and noise issues that are pretty common for roof decks, what we request. But there would not necessarily be a variance issue. Mm-hmm. The variance is only because of the stair structure projecting into the required rear yard in a manner that doesn't meet 136.
Okay.
So again, we'll take this under advisement to look at potential alternatives, because just as designed, I think there are too many challenges probably to grant the variance as is.
Okay.
Thank you very much. And can we at least call Daharo again?
I don't believe anyone's so here. The last item on the calendar, which is item number 10, case number 2018-004699VAR at 39 Diamond Street with a rear yard variance.
That one was continued. I'm sorry.
Daharo Street. That one is continued. So the last item would be number 9 for case number 2017-002591VAR located at 969 Daharo Street with a rear yard variance sought. If the project sponsor is here, you have a 5-minute presentation.
Okay, I'm seeing no project sponsor. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak to this item on Daharo Street? I'm seeing none, I'll close that public hearing and I will take that variance under advisement. With that, we have public comment at the end of the calendar. I see no one here from the public who would like to make any public comments for items not on the agenda. So with that, we will adjourn.